obsessed.
80 days too much. I need multiple things happening, otherwise I can't concentrate.
See, maybe that's why I don't know. I've got something going on because it's like when I study, it has to be like dead silent, but at the same time, I still can't concentrate. I can't concentrate with things. I can't concentrate without things.
Just in general.
I think my brain's just fucked.
Fair.
Yeah. Hello. Hi, guys.
Welcome back. Nothing's changed for you guys, but this is mine and Laura's first time back together since what, November?
Yeah, I'm back from sabbatical. That's what I'm calling it, rather than like I had a nervous breakdown and had to leave. So
It wasn't even that. It was just I had this weird thing where I was like, I can't not release an episode every week.
Yeah.
So, and Christmas is stressful. And I also went away for like 2 and a bit weeks of that.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I'm going to get guests together.
It was still awesome though.
It was like, fun too. It was mildly far more stressful when I had to get my cousin to come into my house and send me, I took remote control of my computer to get a file uploaded to the lounge room Google Drive so that I could download it while I was in on the other side of the country.
Oh my God.
Sitting in a car at the car park waiting for my mum to do a Christmas shopping.
This is why I co-host and nothing else.
I have control issues, so it's fine. So yeah, we're finally back together. So this is our first time recording for 2021. So happy new year, everyone.
Happy new year. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Am I missing anything?
Probably.
For everyone I missed.
Solstice, whatever the most recent solstice was.
Yep. Everything else we celebrate. Oh, end of lockdown for us.
Start of lockdown for some. Yeah.
COVID's still a thing.
It's fine. It means I don't have to work from an office, so I can stay at home and watch Vampire Diaries, because that's what I'm doing with my life currently.
Amazing.
Yeah. So, Laura, I just wanted to tell you, remember my Madeleine McCann story that I did? That was really long.
Yes.
So that was about 3,200 words on the pages, right? The story I've done today is 4,328.
Guys, are you ready to hear Ashley talk a lot?
So sorry. No, for somebody who hates the sound of her own voice.
You really go hard.
I fuck myself all the time. Man.
This is going to be an Ashley heavy episode.
And I go first as well.
You do. I re-listened to the last episode that we put out and I was like, okay, I'm going second this
time. The only reason I remember is because I remember us reading the Axeman's letter at the end and like getting real hyped about it.
Yeah, but we actually got real hyped for a long time about that.
Yeah, we did. So is there any, I mean, it's been like a month. We've already had a catch up. We probably should have saved it for the podcast, I guess. But
should we confess why we had a catch up yesterday?
Oh. Fuck you.
I had to.
So we arranged to record yesterday for us, like a week ago. We reconfirmed it the day before. All was well.
Yeah.
And I literally messaged Laura and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be finished my story because I'm really deep in depth to it and there's a lot of shit going on, but I have a backup plan. But I'm also really into this story, this other story, and I want to finish it.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay, well, we'll record at 6. Let me know if you need more time.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Easy.
That goes that way. You
flexible.
Know?
Perfect. 5:54.
When I'm already in the car.
I messaged Laura and I was like, fuck, are you on your way already? And she calls me and goes, I'm literally 30 seconds from you. Why? And I was like, I thought it was 3 o'clock still and I'm not done.
And then I was like, well, you know, like how much more time do you need? Like if it's 15 minutes, I'll just chill. And what do you say?
I was like, probably 3 or 4 hours. So I was like, come over, we'll have a coffee and you can pet a dog and then I don't fucking know. I'm so sorry. Like I felt so bad.
It was funny though. Like we haven't seen each other in ages. So we ended up like chatting for like 2 hours.
Yeah.
So it was great, but this is why this is technically take two.
Ah, shit. This is going to be a really long episode.
Yeah, we should get into it.
I haven't proofread this.
Okay.
So, my story is actually... Fuck, hold on.
Yeah, this is a special one.
Yeah, so if you follow us on the Instagram, which you should, if you don't, do it.
Thank you to everyone that does, by the way.
Yeah, because we post cool things about, like, pictures of the stories and stuff we're talking about. My phone's on airplane mode. This is not going to work.
All right. 1 second.
So, yeah. We did a little thing of like, we were trying to just get over the little first hurdle of 100 followers.
Yeah.
And when we did that, I messaged our 100th follower and, you know, I said, thank you so much, all that kind of stuff. And then I asked if there was a case that they wanted either one of us to cover.
Yeah. Like a special thing.
Yeah. And we did already do like the shout out for the 100th follower. We told the story of their friendship.
Yep.
Why she listens, all that kind of stuff. But the case that she asked me to cover, and I'll just say her name again, is Kristen. Kristen, yep.
Thank you, Kristen.
Fuck. The case that Kristen wanted me to cover was the case of Thomas Brown.
Oh, I'm not sure I've heard of this one.
Okay, so when I was doing my research, I found a couple of podcasts that I hadn't heard of before that had done it.
Mm-hmm.
I found a really amazing series, an 8-part series by Texas Monthly that had done it.
Okay.
Which was really, really good. They have a podcast and also like it's all written out so you can read it as well if you want to. And like I found a Facebook group.
Okay.
I found a couple of articles and that was it.
That's not a lot.
No. And okay. It's also quite recent.
Right. Okay.
So... strap the fuck in.
I'm ready.
Okay. So this is the story of Thomas Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Where this story takes place is a tiny town in Texas. And like, I mean, tiny, tiny, tiny. It's so small. It only has around like 3,000 people there, which is less than my high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
The town
shit happens in small towns.
Oh yeah. The town is called Canadian, which is very confusing to me.
So we're in Canadian in Texas.
Canadian, Texas. Correct.
Right.
Yep. Also, reading this, I didn't know Texas Rangers were a real thing.
They are, and so are Canadian Mounties.
That I knew, because okay. I've got friends that live in Canada.
Right.
So I've got friends that, and the RMCP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police. Yeah.
Yep.
So I've seen that.
That's, okay.
I didn't believe Texas Rangers were a real thing, but...
Oh, that's cool. Anyways. Yeah.
Okay. In 2016, on the 23rd of November... which is Thanksgiving Eve. We didn't have Thanksgiving, so I didn't know that was a thing. Thomas Brown went missing.
Okay.
Tom had made plans to hang out with his friends. He borrowed his mother's debit card so that he could fill up his car and he left. He met his two friends, Caleb King and Michael, I think it's Castleton.
Okay.
I think. It's T-I-N-E, which I never know how to say at the end. I always say tin or tyne.
Yeah.
But Castle Tyne doesn't sound right.
How would Texan people say it? Oh, it could be.
You're the one wearing a shirt from Tennessee, so I don't know.
just say whatever's comfortable.
Okay. I think that's the only time I have to say it. So anyway. Okay. So both of those were friends from his high school.
Okay.
So he is, I think in his final year of high school,
mm-hmm.
What do they call that? Senior?
Senior, yeah.
I don't know how old that is. 17? 18?
Yeah. They don't have like extra years. It goes like freshman, junior, senior.
Sophomore in there somewhere, isn't there? So there's 4 years of high school. Or is it 3?
Junior.
Don't know.
Sophomore,
anyway.
Sophomore, senior.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't okay. matter. Okay. The plan was to cruise around the town following a regular route, which the group had coined Tom's Loop because of how often Tom drove those particular streets.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tiny town. There's not that many streets. It's not that surprising. Many variations. Yeah. They talked, listened to music, and then stopped at a deli called Alexander's for dinner.
Okay.
And I, every time I read that sentence, so I've tried to proofread this twice and gotten distracted, but every time I read that, I remember like how I used to go like just cruising around with my friends in the small town that we lived in because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
You just get in the car and you drive around because you're too young to drink.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we were then. These guys were too.
Yeah.
Like.
You cruise around and then when you get hungry, you get food and then that's what you do.
And then you cruise around some more and you listen to like CDs and shit. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Other days.
2016. They had Spotify. Don't worry about it. So 8 p.m. rolls around and the three boys went back to the high school parking lot where they met. To be joined by Christian Webb.
Mm-hmm.
And Christian had just returned for her Thanksgiving trip from Oklahoma State Uni. So she's a year above them.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone off to college.
Mm-hmm.
She's gone off to uni and she's come back for the holiday trip.
Okay.
Michael calls it a night. He's done. He gets into his own car and leaves. The boys then move from Tom's car to Christian. So now Christian's driving. She's got a Dodge.
Okay.
They drove around some more. They stopped at what the locals call the walking bridge.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like an old bridge, but it's like built for wagons, so it's quite small and narrow, so it's not like a cart. You could use it now.
Oh, okay.
So you can kind of bike across it, hike across it, that kind of stuff. Now, it's not very big either.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking, I usually walk across bridges, but okay. It's called the walking bridge.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, you can also drive across bridges, but it's not one that you can drive across.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway.
Moving on.
The group went back to the high school parking lot around 11 p.m. Caleb left to go home, and Christian and Tom made plans to play pool at Christian's the next day, and that maybe even Tom could come up and visit her at Oklahoma State.
Okay.
So now this is where some people are probably like, oh, they liked each other, but Tom had actually just like 2 weeks earlier broken up with a girl named Sage Pennington.
Beautiful name.
I know. Isn't it so like, it's a very literary name. Like,
I love it.
Yeah. Because she was also away at college.
Okay.
So Sage was a year above him. Tom had explained to his family that a long distance relationship was too hard to keep up. So it's unlikely that Christian and Tom had anything really going on other than friends.
Okay.
Tom and Christian made and agreed on their plans, and Tom drove away.
Right.
That was the last time Tom was ever seen.
Interesting.
Now, Tom was a good kid, like really good. And when I say really good, I mean like the yes, ma'am, yes, sir kind of kid, which is just, that's, I just so imagine cute. Like Texas, tiny country town. So it's on the, what they call the panhandle. So, you know, the long bit of Texas. That's like, yeah. Yeah. like, it's just, it's so cute.
They actually do that all throughout most of the South. Like when I went to Memphis, referencing my shirt, they did that too. Like, yes, ma'am, no, sir.
It's just real cute.
It's adorable.
Australians don't do that.
I actually want to start. Like, I think we should bring it here.
You can.
All right. I'll try.
I won't look at you weird when you do it.
Thank you.
That's my support that I'll give you for that.
That's actually huge for you. Yeah. Like, I appreciate that.
Yeah, because I look at you weird most of the time.
Yeah, I'm used to it.
Okay, so, and that was, like, according to all the people around him, that he was a really, really good kid.
Mm-hmm.
He had a curfew, which was, like, 12 midnight sharp, okay. Which when I was that age, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I was,
if
like,
I was still in year 12, I don't think that was my curfew.
No.
he was never late, okay. Like, ever. And even if he was going to be, like, a minute, 5 minutes, whatever, like, however long late, he would call or text his mum, Penny, and say that he was going to be, like, he gave notice all the time.
Yeah.
So Penny and Tucker's Tom's older brother,
okay,
both called and texted him after midnight and had no response.
Mm-hmm.
Around 12:30 a.m., Penny woke up and decided she was going to go look for Tom. Tucker and his friend Tyler, who was over there watching movies, got into their car as Penny got into hers. So we've got two cars driving around this very small, like, it's like a 15-grid-looking kind of town.
Okay.
You know when you see the, if you were to make a table in, like, Word or something?
Yeah.
It's, like, it's tiny. I'll show you, I'll post a picture later, but it's tiny.
Yeah, tiny little town.
Yeah. So there's two cars going around. Penny went around the town and the boys did the outskirts. So they did like the highways in and out. They did the farm roads. Tucker's theory was that maybe Tom had been in a car accident out on like those longer roads that are quite dark and all that kind of stuff. So he was out there checking. Tucker searched for an hour with his friend. So now we're at 1:30 in the morning-ish. Dropped him off and then searched for another hour on his own. 2:30.
Okay.
Penny called Caleb, who had been with Tom earlier, thinking maybe he knew something. Caleb, of course, didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't know, and he started to get really worried too. So Caleb called Michael and Christian. Neither knew where he was or where he might have been. Christian is quoted as saying, "My first thought was that he had just gotten a flat tire. I mean, nothing ever happens in Canadian. Nothing terrible. So, I mean, I was concerned, but I didn't have a huge amount of concern."
Okay.
You know? Each of Tom's friends joined the search. So Caleb's mother also joined with them. And they drove everywhere. Mm-hmm. So now we've got mum in one car, brother in another. Then each of the other kids have their own cars. So they all went separately as well. So we've got five vehicles plus Caleb's mum. I don't know if she was in the car with them or not. Mm-hmm. Five or six vehicles driving around this tiny town.
They
trying
should
to find
right
any
no
sign
problem.
Of this kid. Yeah. Yeah. They drove everywhere. They drove all the way. They drove downtown. They checked out the football stadium, the rodeo arena, which
amazing.
Made me giggle. even out to Lake Marvin, which is like the reservoir. It's not like an actual lake. It's like a water reservoir.
Okay.
East of Canadian, and that's surrounded by like campsites and picnic areas, stuff like that. So they drove out there, checked, nothing.
Okay.
2:30 a.m., Penny calls the sheriff's department.
Mm-hmm.
They send one deputy who looked around for Tom's car. Around 4 a.m., he came back to their house, so to the Browns' home. The family thought that maybe he went to see his recent ex-Sage because okay. she was home for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Tucker goes with the deputy to show him Sage's house. Tom's car wasn't there. Tom wasn't there. Sage hadn't seen him.
Right.
7:30 a.m., Penny and Tom's stepdad Chris visit the sheriff, Nathan Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Which I actually went to a uni. I went to uni with a guy called Nathan Lewis, so this was weird for me to write. Lewis was great at drug busts, like really good. But this was his first ever missing persons case. And he was right. 2 or 3 months into being the sheriff.
Okay. Might work against us here.
Now, small town, gossip spreads like wildfire.
Yes.
And Penny and the sheriff didn't exactly get along.
Mm.
When Lewis was a deputy, he stopped by a group of teens that included Tom late one night hanging out in the street.
Mm-hmm.
According to Lewis, he got Tom in his truck and told him he needed to get his butt home. The actual quote was, "Y'all's better get your butts home," or something like that. I can't do an accent, but when I was reading it, it was very funny.
Okay.
According to Tom, and what he told his mother, is his friends were only looking for a friend's dad whose father ran the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And that Lewis had accosted him. Oh. So, you know, like gone sort of off at him for being out in the streets, whatever. Penny was so upset that she filed a complaint,
mm-hmm.
didn't go anywhere, but she still filed it. And she told others around the town that she thought Lewis would be a bad fit for the sheriff because this was before he was the sheriff.
Okay, so they have beef.
Yeah.
Right.
Sheriff Lewis, while saying he didn't hold a grudge, did admit he was skeptical about Tom really being missing, assuming he was just another high school kid who got drunk and missed curfew.
Pretty common attitude that a lot of police departments have.
Yeah. At the same time as all this was happening, Christian Webb and her dad, Trey, who own a helicopter sales business, which awesome. If your friend's going to go missing, that's the friend you want to have.
I need to go make friends with someone with a helicopter now.
Yeah. so they were in a company chopper looking for Tom's car. So they were doing like sort of a grid search because mm-hmm. her dad could actually fly it as well. So he was flying them over the town doing like a grid search scanning to try and find the car. They were going down low into trees and stuff like mm-hmm. to try and see if it was parked under trees, all that kind of stuff.
Pretty helpful.
Yeah. Finally, Tom's car was found.
Okay.
So they found it. Tom's red Durango parked under a small grove of trees across a dirt road from the water treatment plant just north of the town.
What's it doing there?
Christian was sure this was really strange because she had no idea this road even existed and she was sure they had never driven that way before.
Yeah.
And like Tom is so predictable. When he drives, his friends call it Tom's Loop because they know exactly where he's going.
Yeah.
You know?
He sounds like a, you know, creature of habit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Around the vehicle, all they found was a very light shoe print near the driver's door.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially a urine mark by the same door.
Okay.
Inside the unlocked vehicle were cans of smokeless tobacco, which I'm guessing is chewing tobacco?
Possibly.
Oh, fuck it. We don't have that here, so I don't know what that means. Two pairs of football boots. He was on the football team.
Mm-hmm.
Towels, jumper cables, a pillow, and a clown costume. Don't make that face. Tom had worn it for a school drama production.
Okay.
I also made that face. There was no wallet, keys, phone, or Penny's bank card.
Right.
And there was a thin streak of very dry blood on the inside of the front driver's door by the handle. Mm. There was one final thing that the sheriff and his deputy found. A 25 caliber shell casing on the floor. No other evidence whatsoever that a gun had been fired. No blood spatter.
Mm-hmm.
No gunpowder residue.
Yeah.
No actual gun.
Just the shell nothing. Casing.
Yeah, just the shell casing.
It's a bit odd.
Very quickly, residents were looking for signs of Tom in the area of his car.
Mm-hmm.
They were on foot, horseback, and four-wheelers.
Wow.
Yeah. The Webb family continued in the helicopter and even brought in a second one. So now they had two helicopters flying around looking for him.
Damn.
A game warden arrived with a tracking dog, but it couldn't catch a scent.
Okay.
So that afternoon, the sheriff brought back Tom's car to his family.
Okay.
Saying he was done with it.
That's not long.
Yeah. Penny even questioned it. She was like, are you sure? And he was like, there's nothing else we can do with it. Thankfully, the next day, the sheriff decided he needed to reprocess the car and see if anything else could be found.
Okay.
They didn't find anything, but yeah. Sort of at least.
You need to be sure that there's nothing.
Yeah. What they couldn't find was Tom's school laptop.
Okay.
And they were hoping to trace it.
Mm.
The laptop, which is usually left exclusively in his backpack, the backpack, which is almost exclusively left in his car, the backpack, which was missing.
Okay, so it kind of sounds like, you know, valuables are missing, but so far, of random crap is still there.
Tom's missing.
Yeah.
His phone's missing.
Yeah.
His wallet's missing.
Yeah.
His mum's bank card is missing.
Yeah.
His keys are missing.
Mm-hmm.
His bank card is found in the car down in the front seat where he's probably lost it, hence why he's using his mum's.
Right, okay.
And his school backpack is missing, which has a laptop and his school books.
Okay.
That's it.
Hmm.
Right. So why did Tom park his car somewhere he'd never been, take his school backpack with his books and laptop, his phone, his wallet, and seemingly leave? There was a footprint outside the door. Did mm-hmm. he just take his shit and walk off?
Well, I mean, just one footprint, though. That's a bit odd.
Well, it's also, like, there was a lot of things saying that it hadn't rained for a really long time, so the ground was really compact. So, like, you can't really leave footprints in that area if it's really dry because everything's like limestone and kind of hard.
I guess so, but I mean, if it's able to leave one there, like surely
one very light footprint. So probably when he first got out of the car and okay. you put like a little bit more pressure on, but when you're walking and your weight's distributed, maybe not.
Maybe.
Don't know. But either way, there's one footprint and no Tom.
Yeah.
So the sheriff called in bloodhounds, which did catch a scent but lost it at a marsh.
Okay.
They organized a grid search, a professional mounted search, and a rescue team. All of them turned up nothing.
Okay.
There's also no note to say that the bloodhound scent was Tom's.
Yeah, so they just found something.
They didn't give him, like, they didn't give the dog a Tom shirt or something, and then he found the scent. It just found a scent that disappeared.
Okay.
His friends knew it wasn't Tom's choice to get out of the car and go into the woods.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the outdoorsy type. Okay. Like, there's a lot of evidence of, like, his friends saying no way would he just go out into the woods. He was wearing blue jeans, tennis shoes, a shirt, and a really light, like, a football shirt, and then a really light pullover black sweater. That was it. It was not...
He's not gone hiking.
It's not woodlands outfit attire. That makes sense in my head.
He's not dressed as a lumberjack. Like, he's...
Correct.
Yeah.
He's not a lumberjack. Perfect. It was just too weird for them.
Yeah. There's a lot that's not making sense here.
Yeah. So, what else did they find in the investigation?
Mm-hmm.
On the night Tom disappeared, a camera in front of a convenience store in the middle of town had caught Tom's vehicle just after midnight, heading up a street, possibly towards his home, but then coming back down the same street a few minutes later. Around 5:30 a.m., so this is after everybody's been out searching.
Yeah.
A camera caught the vehicle going through downtown, turning in the direction of Tom's home, backtracking again. 5:56 a.m., the Durango was picked up by a camera positioned atop a city-owned building near the water treatment plant.
Mm-hmm.
It showed the vehicle moving slowly along the dirt road, passing through the already open gate and parking. Headlights went off. And total darkness. Nobody can see him getting in or out.
This just got really scary.
Mm. This makes no sense. Nothing that they can make heads or tails of. So they do more interviews.
Okay.
Tom's mother Penny and his stepdad Chris were first. Penny brought up a history of suicide in her family, but nothing in Tom's actions or behavior the weeks before gave any indication like that.
Mm-hmm.
Although the fact that she brought it up was still something that people were a bit shaky on. The fact that it was one of the first things that she was sort of thinking about.
Well, I mean, if it was like, was that in a police interview or something?
Yeah.
I mean, they ask, they're like, do you have a family history of mental illness? In which you'll probably be like, well, we have suicidal ideation, but not
in be honest, I don't know if this is a question that the sheriff would have asked.
Okay.
So Tom's ex, Sage, was next, and she brought up something weird.
Oh.
And, like, not to kink shame or anything, Sage said that Tom liked to occasionally wear men's adult diapers and that she wasn't sure if anyone else knew.
Okay.
So that's something that's not in the norm.
It is a bit odd. Not typical.
Yeah. Sheriff Lewis confronted Penny with this information, so his mum.
Okay.
Her shock at the information caused her to lose total faith in Lewis.
Oh.
To her, he was trying to trash his reputation.
Yeah.
So Penny hired a private investigator.
Good work, Penny.
Someone with experience.
Hmm.
In walks Philip Klein.
That's a good name for a detective.
A man who claims to have investigated more than 1,800 missing persons cases over the last 25 years with an 80% success rate.
Are those statistics true?
No idea.
Okay.
Klein has a reputation for being a showboat, and that was very apparent, but he was involved now.
Okay. All right.
Turns out Sage, Christian, and Penny all knew about Tom's diaper fetish.
Okay. They've had some frank chats.
Penny did think it had ended when he was in middle school. She had caught him wearing his toddler-aged cousin's diapers, but thought it was done. Also, this is like a six... Like, he's a really tall kid. He's like six-something. Like, he's lanky-ish, sort of. But how the fuck did he fit, is my question.
Yeah, I mean...
Maybe he had a growth spurt. A growth spurt is what I almost said.
Maybe he's tall, but he's like very narrow in the hips or something. So he's like an upside-down triangle.
Maybe. Like maybe. That. That's a weird image. But that was, I couldn't stop thinking about that for a while.
I'm still thinking about it.
Yeah. So Sage actually revealed that the night before his disappearance, after a high school basketball game where they sat apart and didn't speak because they'd recently broken up.
Yeah.
Tom had texted her saying he was sad and felt like a loser.
Oh.
She obviously was like, you know, I miss you. You're not a loser. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
She also revealed that once Tom had asked what she thought would happen if he just jumped in front of a passing train.
Uh-oh.
But she didn't believe he would ever actually do it. So Christian Webb didn't believe he would either. After all, they'd made plans for just the next day.
Yeah, I don't think that sounds like intent, but I mean, that's a pretty full-on thing to say to someone.
I mean, if you're in a small town,
yeah,
like that's where my brain goes, like, there's not that much to do, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and especially, who knows if they were talking, what they were talking about before that. Like, this is kind of an out of context quote, but it's something that's brought up in the investigation anyway.
Yeah.
So they could have been talking about absolutely anything. They could have just watched a movie or something and then afterwards went for a walk. Like, we don't know. There's not that information released.
That's a hard thing with quotes like that, because it's like, well, are they just being a bit dramatic or are they actually, you
know? And it's really contextual.
Yeah. And you know, like, you sometimes get people that are suicidal and they kind of drop it into conversation and it's like they start subtly talking about suicide more.
Yeah.
But then there's also people who are like, you know, oh my God, kill me now. Or like, what if I did this? And it's just like, they're trying to express emotional pain, but it's not suicidality.
Yeah. Or it's just like, just a weird intrusive thought that happened at that moment, but it doesn't necessarily reflect anything in particular.
Yeah. Or it could be like a very dark joke where it's like, you know, someone will be like, oh, what if I jumped in front of the train? They're like, well, you
maybe
leave
he
a
was
mess.
Talking about how much, like, you can leave a mess. I almost glossed over that. Glad I didn't. Like, he could have been like, it could have been before she was about to go away to uni.
Mm.
And he could have been like, you know, what would you do without me?
Ugh.
You know? But not in like a dramatic way, as in like a joking way. He was like, well, what if I jumped in front of this train right now? What would you do? Like, you can't stop me. What if they were fighting?
Yeah.
Like, as a joke, play fighting.
Isn't that
There's lots of different ways that that could have happened.
Yeah. Ugh. Okay.
Klein began telling people straight up that he thought Tom had been kidnapped or murdered.
Okay.
He suggested Tom had met someone on the, and this is my favorite thing, Undernet.
There is literally a website for everything.
The Undernet.
The Undernet.
Well, I think he just uses it as a term to do with, like, I guess,
does he mean
kink sites and stuff, but not like in particular just like dark, menacing. I think he means like the dark web, yeah, but not like terrorist level dark web, like baby dark web.
Yeah.
Dark web for small children.
Just the stuff you look at and go,
the questionable stuff that maybe shouldn't probably be on RedTube, like stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, you know, not like snuff stuff or anything horrible, just like that's specific. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And like chat rooms and things like that. Like that's, yeah, what he's referring to. But the undernet is the great.
It's just, you know, with his very particular fetish, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, what? Yes. When I think about the undernet, I just immediately see the vampire from Adventure Time.
I haven't seen Adventure Time.
She's just really like typical goth and me in the world, but she's like a floating vampire that's like a rock princess and stuff. She's great. Anyway, that's just the image that I associate with that.
See, for some reason, I picture like, you know, in board shorts, the netting that's in board shorts. I don't know why. That's what's in my head.
I mean, it's under and it's a net, so under, you're right. Yeah, so he'd met someone on the undernet, possibly to do with his fetish, and they had taken or killed him.
Okay.
Because that's what people with obscure fetishes do. They just murder everyone.
I feel like that's all. Is this his brother or his?
This is the investigator, the private investigator.
Yeah. I feel like that's a generational thing because like when someone goes missing, they're like, well, they met someone on the internet and they've kidnapped them and they murdered them.
The article does mention him meeting someone on Xbox Live at one point. I just thought that was really funny.
Oh my God.
Those people don't go outside.
No. That's how they meet.
I am one of those people.
Yeah. You've told me you have like gaming friends and stuff.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I lost my place. Doop-a-doop-bop.
Undernetting.
Ah. Undernet. Klein was also throwing around that he met someone he knew before midnight, and for some reason, they killed him, dumped his body, and ditched the car.
Okay.
With these theories, Klein brought in another investigator, Jane Holmes, and he was very specific to tell everyone it was Holmes like Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
And at the same time, Sheriff Lewis brought in the FBI and the Texas Rangers.
Everybody's coming in.
Yeehaw, motherfucker. sorry. Is that insensitive?
That should be on the Texas Ranger badge.
Yeehaw, motherfucker.
Yeah.
They should have snapbacks.
Fuck yes. Yeah. No, they have to have their hats. The Ranger hats.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Do they wear those things with the little, you know how they get the cow tie with like the little strings?
Yeah.
I can really say yeehaw, motherfucker.
I really hope they do.
Yeah.
If they don't, I'll be sad.
Somebody tell us, please. So someone in that group of law enforcement, so out of the FBI or the Texas Rangers, not sure who, did find a statement from Macy Peterson, which is another friend of Tom's. Macy said that she and Tom had once discussed how easy it would be to disappear from Canadian, again, weird phrasing, but that's what it's called, as long as you didn't use a cell phone, credit card, or anything else that was traceable.
Okay. Again, could be like a flyby comment.
Like, I just, to me, it doesn't seem like a big deal in those comments because, like, it's such a small town. And, like, I've lived in a large city and I've lived in a tiny town.
Mm.
And the weird shit you say about, like, finally getting out of this tiny town and stuff like that is real. That happens all the time because there's nothing to fucking do.
Yeah, you can't escalate. You can't grow a career. You can't do anything.
Like, yeah.
You're
trapped. I felt like that in Mandurah. That's the second biggest city in Western Australia.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I grew up out in the valley with, like, the Yarra Valley. So, I mean, that's not, like, a tiny town, but it's, like, lots of tiny little towns. But it's, like, you know, you haven't got, like, big universities or anything out there. So you always come into the city. And it's, like, if you want to go clubbing, you've got to come in the city. You've got to travel
an hour.
Such
a trek, yeah.
So, it, plus, like, a lot of teenagers say really dark shit just because they
teenagers are dramatic.
Yeah. They're, everybody like, I'm going to disappear. And, you know, he might have, like, had a fight with his family and he's, like, I'm going to disappear. Like, never see them again.
He could have even just not wanted to go to the school the next day. Like, it could have been anything.
Yeah, you know, you walk into school, you're in a bad mood.
I know, I was the most dramatic teenager I've ever met.
That does not surprise me.
No, it shouldn't.
That hasn't changed. But no, like, people say weird shit.
Now I have to pay bills, so it's worse.
Bills.
But I can also eat ice cream for dinner if my husband lets me. So, so now they're thinking he skipped town.
Yeah.
That one comment in that one statement, they're now like, oh, well, he skipped town because of one thing he said offhandedly, whoever knows how long ago.
Yeah.
Lewis, his deputy, and a few Texas Rangers, they met with Penny and Chris and Tom's biological father, Kelly, who had come into the town. So he didn't live there anymore, but he's come back.
Mm-hmm.
The officers asked Penny if she thought Tom was gay.
Was he?
Because if you've got a fetish, it makes you gay.
Ugh.
Which Lewis denies asking.
Of course he does.
Remember, this is only 2016. It's not that long ago.
Well, I was about to say, like, that's a very unethical question that's not really relevant to anything.
Right. According to Penny, a Texas Ranger said, "I think that your son just ran off. Great news is that he's alive, and when he wants to talk to you again, he'll pick up the phone and call you."
Show
that's
me
how much
that.
They didn't care.
Oh, man.
You know? And when Penny questioned that, like, how do you know that? He was like, "Friends told us." She goes, "What friends?" And he said, "We can't tell you."
Because they don't exist.
Right. So they're your imaginary friends, mate. They sit on your shoulder and they tell you to eat the sugar.
Yeah.
So this is where I decided I dislike Sheriff Lewis.
Right. Okay.
In doing the research, I was like, fuck this dude.
Yeah, at first I'm like, okay, maybe he'll do well, or maybe he'll like drop the ball once or twice, but it's
yeah.
like, no.
Yeah, this is where I'm like, nah, fuck you. Okay. In 2017, Sheriff Lewis appears on a radio show.
Here we go.
Yeah. Lewis said, "Looking over everything that we have found through the young man's home, through his vehicle, and talking to friends and close confidants has led us to believe that Mr. Brown left on his own. The young man did leave voluntarily."
You sure about
that? Sounds officially, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Now, neither Klein nor Lewis had given any evidence to support their theories.
Yeah.
But interest kept growing. A $5,000 reward was offered to the first person who provided the sheriff's department with information leading to Tom's return or recovery by a local convenience chain. There were a few tips, but none leading anywhere. And as you know, once a tip line starts, it brings out all the crazies.
Yeah. See, to me, this sounds like we'll give you a reward if you can give us any evidence that proves what we've just said.
Yeah. Prove my point and I'll give you money for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Feb 1st, 2017, the town held a vigil for Tom. Everyone received a pebble with the inscription, "Just Make It Home," on one side and Tom's name on the back, which is
that's
just
beautiful.
So cute. For some, it felt more like a funeral. The day after the vigil, a new rumor began to spread. Someone had found Tom's backpack. So, that was Feb 1st, 2017.
Okay.
He went missing November 2016. So it's been a few months.
Yeah, like four months later.
Mid-January, a black and red backpack is spotted nothing more than 5 feet from the road.
Where his car was found? Or
the road that leads to Lake Marvin, a water reservoir 14 miles or 22 kilometers away. The bag was behind a fence, under a bunch of trees, and sitting upright.
Placed there.
The man saw it, ignored it, forgot it, remembered about Tom, went back for it.
Okay. He got there in the end.
Yeah, he just didn't really notice straight away.
I mean, that's relatable though.
Opening the bag, he saw books and a laptop with Tom's name.
Okay.
He put the bag back and called Sheriff Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
The position of the backpack was totally intentional. There is no way it could have been thrown from the road. It would have either been caught in the trees or on the fence. And how likely is it that it would have landed upright, perfectly leaning against a fence? I doubt it.
No.
It didn't make sense for Tom to have placed it there himself. Did he park his car near the water treatment plant and walk away on foot? It would have been a really, really difficult and long journey with a bag he just leaves behind.
That makes no sense.
Right. So the journey itself, like if you look at the map, it's really fucking far away from the town.
Okay.
And it's either you go through all this marshland. Mm-hmm. There was a scent that stopped at a marsh. A scent could have been anything. But you have to go through all this marshland for like 8 miles.
That's a long time.
It's and he would have had an hour and a half to do it.
And he was in tennis shoes, which would have made it
and
harder.
And jeans and a really light shirt, carrying a bag full of books and a laptop, which is heavy.
Yeah, and that would
to just leave it behind. Why would you take it in the first place?
Yeah, and that would have left his scent everywhere.
Well, I guess, with the marsh, once you cross into a marsh, it's like crossing a river. Your scent gets lost in the running water.
Yeah, it's still not making sense, though.
For him to do that, like, to even do that in the first place is ridiculous. There is another way he could have got there, which is to walk north on the highway and then down the road all the way there.
But that's specific, though.
That's very intentional, and it's also a lot further.
Yeah, no, neither of those make sense.
No, they don't. So Clean appears on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And he completely outs that he has no evidence to think Tom left on his own. So basically, Sheriff Lewis has come on the radio, says he thinks he completely left on his own. All's yep. well, don't worry about it. This private investigator with mm-hmm. likely a lot more clout gets on the radio and says, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
That's not what I think.
It's not what I think either.
So now they kind of are arguing about it, but over the radio.
Mm-hmm.
He also claims to have suspects in the city regarding some possible nefarious activities.
That could mean almost anything.
Yeah, well, what a lot of people think that it meant is that Michael, okay. One of the guys that he was with, would sell weed
right
at the school. And in his interview, they did ask him, you know, like, did you and Tom smoke together? And he was like, nah, Tom wouldn't touch it.
Well, yeah, like, he's this straight edge kid.
Yeah.
You know.
Wouldn't touch the stuff. So I don't know what nefarious activities he's talking about. But anyway.
Plus, do you really think the kid that, like, is home by 12 every night and calls his mum when he's going to be late is also dealing drugs?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Unlikely. In April, Clean brought in Chance, a lab mix cadaver dog, with his handler, Trace.
Mm-hmm.
His handler's name's Trace.
That's pretty great.
I wrote in brackets, really?
I like that.
I wonder if Trace changed their name.
To fit her job.
Yeah.
I would. I probably wouldn't. Okay. That sounds like a lot of hassle.
That's great. I think it's wonderful. Anyway, so Chance went all over Canadian, including the area of the backpack and Tom's car. Mm-hmm. According to Klein, Chance sniffed out the tiny streak of blood, which was tested to be Tom's, but also it was too old to have anything to do with his disappearance. It was likely, you know, a paper cut or like a nick on his knuckle or something yeah. that he's just...
cut your finger and then gone, oh, I've got to get the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Chance... sat. The vehicle had a scent of decay.
Oh.
Rumors started going nuts.
Yeah.
Klein interviewed some teenage suspects. This is where I said one was a friend of Tom's who smoked weed. Was that the nefarious activities? And when the reward got to up to $40,000, the rumors got even more out of hand. Someone informed the sheriff that Tom had been injected with acid by members of a drug cartel. Someone else sent a letter to the sheriff's department written in block print with no signature claiming that Tom had been murdered and buried in a chicken coop by a married couple who were meth dealers and money launderers for a motorcycle gang. There was things about him being put in a wood chipper. There was some... The lady at the pharmacy told one of the, like, journalists that I was reading the articles from that she'd heard that he had been kept in a motel room, killed and frozen. And he goes, well, how is he frozen? She goes, in a freezer, duh. And he was like, in a motel room? Like,
why are people like this?
I don't know. So now Lewis appears on the air again to knock down the teenage involvement theory. So this is now essentially how they're communicating. They're just bashing each other over the radio.
The professionalism in this case is amazing.
Oh, yeah. So law enforcers follow a lead that perhaps Christian was communicating with Tom via a friend named Nathan. So okay. like a friend that they'd met, a mutual like friend of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
They followed her around her university campus, making her very paranoid. They finally questioned her for about 4 hours. They reduced her to tears. When she agreed to take a lie detector test without hesitation, they just left.
Okay, so basically they psychologically tortured her until
they realized... bullying children.
Yeah, until they realized, oh, this one's innocent, and then they fucked off.
Yeah. According to Anita, which is Christian's mother, the next day, Sheriff Lewis said to them, Christian had been cleared, and that, we know that Tom has run off with an older man to Colorado.
Do you now?
Which, of course, Lewis totally denies saying.
Okay.
Yeah. Caleb King was next to be accosted by the Texas Rangers. Of course, they achieved nothing but scaring the absolute wits out of him.
Mm-hmm.
July 2017, with nothing new but more rumors, Penny held a press conference. She squashed rumors about him running away, committing suicide, or that he was a troubled teen.
Mm-hmm.
She also had the press conference. Some people say this is more what the press conference was about, to publicly out the sheriff's office.
Yeah.
Saying she had lost hope in them and that the assumptions made early on tainted the potential for progress. At the press conference, Lewis was there to make his own statement after being caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we have no evidence to say that anything else has happened. We have no evidence showing that a crime has been committed, and so at this point, he's missing.
Oh, because they have no evidence altogether.
Exactly. That's my, like, yeah, he's missing, so why are you telling people he's run away?
Yeah, exactly. There's no evidence of that either.
Exactly.
You have no evidence.
Once again, Klein hops onto the radio to push his theory that Tom was murdered.
Stop having these guys on the radio.
I know. That his final cell phone ping near the football stadium at midnight meant that something had happened there that led to Tom's death. And that Klein had three persons of interest, all teens.
Mm-hmm.
And holding back all details, he said he was going to organize a large search for something specific. He would appear on and off the radio giving hints about his investigation for the next couple weeks.
Right.
Showboat.
Jesus.
Around September, Klein revealed a relative of a main witness claimed Tom's body was somewhere near the road the backpack had been found on. Does that sentence make sense?
It does, but I'm just sitting there like, who the fuck is that to give information? How did they know?
We don't
anything?
Have their name. We don't know. So Klein puts out his organizing a massive search. 500 applications were received and 150 volunteers selected.
This is like such a spectacle.
Yeah. October 2017, Klein was giving instructions to his volunteer search. They were to look for Tom's phone, keys, wallet, and a small caliber handgun. But the most important of his instructions was look for human bones.
Well, yeah, it's pretty standard for all searches. I don't know what this special thing he was talking about.
The volunteers were divided across either side of the road and stationed 1 mile apart because it's a really... really fucking long road.
Yeah, so they're doing that.
It's like a 22-mile road or something ridiculous. Oh, so, yeah. 6 minutes into the search, a woman finds an iPhone.
What?
The problem was,
mm-hmm.
the phone was in perfect condition.
Mm.
The side of the road had recently been mowed. The phone wasn't cracked. There had been massive rains, no water damage. The phone had obviously only been there a day or two.
Yeah.
So this is September of 2017. This is nearly a year after he's gone missing.
Yeah, that's not going to be in pristine condition if it's his.
They logged the phone they found. They also found a few shreds of deteriorated clothing and a shoe.
Mm-hmm.
They found an empty black pistol case that could have possibly held a 25 caliber handgun.
Okay.
Klein, again on the radio, claimed he had gotten a tip about a copper Ford F-250 and also that he did a luminol test on Tom's truck and that it lit up like a Christmas tree.
Oh, did it?
This is later squashed to have been yellow paint from a football event.
Oh my God.
Also, sorry. It's not solved.
Fuck!
I should have told you that at the start.
Oh my God. I'm like sitting here waiting. I'm like, are they going to figure it out?
No. So I was,
okay. I'm still listening.
Good. Everyone connected to the case, especially Christian Webb and Caleb King. That's really hard for me to say. Caleb King.
Anyway. It's the double K.
Were totally like accosted in their lives by the public.
Yeah.
The public, the authorities, there were hundreds of different rumors flying about. They were snubbed and accused constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Christian even got assaulted, like someone pushed her at a like a frat party saying, God. I bet you know where Tom is. Like,
oh, guys.
Yeah. The end of 2017, so over a year of Tom being missing and the cases were totally stalled. Both investigations were stalled.
Yeah.
Either Tom was exceptional at living off the grid.
Yeah.
Or he was dead and no one had any idea of how or why or where.
Mm.
Then January 12th came around.
That's my birthday.
Is it?
Yeah.
So the FBI backlog had finally reached the iPhone they found by the lake.
Okay.
It was Tom's.
That's interesting.
It is.
Oh, who put it there?
We don't know.
Fuck!
So someone had Tom's phone for nearly a year, mm-hmm. kept it totally hidden and safe, and then planted it a day or even just hours before client search began. And then in big letters I wrote, okay.
Okay. Okay, see now, okay, I've been watching.
Are you shaking now? Do you see, this is where I was up to when I called you yesterday and I was like, I'm not fucking done.
No, you're like, there's more to this. Mm. No, I've been watching The Ripper and from our conversation yesterday.
Yay.
Yep. You know how he was saying how The Ripper was very like showy and like planting things and drawing them out.
Mm.
That's what I'm thinking about now.
Yeah.
Because someone planted it.
Yeah, they fucking did. Mm-hmm. All right. Klein had even stated that he ordered his staff to tell no one where the search was taking place.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't he announce it on the radio?
Yeah. Also, Mr. Flashy Pants, do you really think he's keeping things under wraps?
Well, the thing that gets me is I literally wrote that he said that he was given a tip that Tom's body was on that road.
Yeah.
Where the fuck else is he going to search? If that's the tip he announces and then he says he's going to organize a massive search and then he talks about his cell phone ping, maybe he's looking for a phone
in this area
or his body on that road.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Plus, I mean, like, if this is some kid's mum that or a parent that was like, oh, yeah, like, I heard his body's here, they've probably told a few people by now.
Yeah.
Like, they're not just going to be like, oh,
well,
hey,
yeah, it said a relative of someone linked in the investigation. So fucking, oh, God. Yeah. I don't know. I want names.
Yeah. And I just want to talk.
I just want to hang out.
Yeah.
Let's be friends. I'm not going to torture you into it. Don't worry about it.
No.
So specific details had been withheld from the volunteers until early that morning. So they didn't tell the volunteers what they were doing until they met first thing in the morning.
Okay.
The only people who had been briefed beforehand without the, I guess, guesswork of trying to piece it together that definitely knew were members of the sheriff's department and the volunteer fire department. Ooh. That had been 48 hours beforehand. So now Klein was convinced it was someone in law enforcement and his primary suspect was Lewis. Mm. Me fucking too, buddy.
Yep.
Oh, man. So Klein was super suspicious of Lewis. Mm-hmm. One of the things that bothered him the most was the amount of mistakes Lewis made, like with Tom's vehicle, returning it so soon, then taking it away again. Klein actually thought that maybe perhaps he was purposefully tainting evidence.
But they didn't find anything anyway.
No, but it's still, if potentially somebody else came, this is my theory anyway, if somebody else came in and went to look over that car again, he left it at the family's house for a whole night. Anybody could have gotten in. The brother, when they dropped the car off, Tucker actually got in the car and was looking around to see if there was anything they missed.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so.
So if they did find something, they could be like, oh, but the family had it a whole night. They could have messed something up.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's, you know.
He did so much divergence too.
But also, like, in 2016, who doesn't fucking know that you keep the big evidence?
No shit.
I mean, have you ever watched TV?
Yeah, we're not qualified in anything.
The Simpsons know that.
The Simpsons. Everybody knows that. Like, we're not qualified in shit and we know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
So you know? Shady. Anyway. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Let's make us even angrier.
Klein also said that Lewis had refused to get Chance the cadaver dog to sniff the actual backpack.
Why?
Simply because it was Klein that suggested it, according to Klein. Which does make sense because they are going on the radio basically ripping each other to shreds. Yeah. Maybe, Klein said, the sheriff had placed the phone at the beginning of Lake Marvin Road or had ordered somebody else to, hoping it would distract searchers from discovering potentially damning evidence, such as Tom's remains, farther down the road.
The only thought I have at the moment is why would the sheriff plant something that makes Klein look successful? Because, like, finding the phone, Klein's going to be like, yes, I found it, guys. Hallelujah. But Lewis put it there.
But, I mean, would you, if you had killed somebody or had something to do with it, and you knew there was something worse later on that they were going to see that was definitely going to catch you, or something smaller now that wouldn't really give them anything.
Yeah.
You give them the smaller thing, right?
But there was no guarantee that they'd call off the search. Like, they still probably would have followed through with it, right? Like,
it depends how well that person is kind of aware of Klein and, you know, maybe they would have kept going if they didn't find anything, but the search did reveal something, so maybe that was enough.
Mm.
It's a lot of, like, hedging your bets and shit, but
yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. apparently Lewis had the same theory about Klein.
Of course.
That he had planted the phone to look good and that it was too coincidental.
Mm.
But then my thought is like, well, where the fuck did Klein get the phone from in the first place? And why would he plant it? As if, like, I just don't understand, as if Klein had any reason to cover up the crime when he wasn't involved until afterwards. Unless he just goes around killing and kidnapping people to get customers.
Plus, I mean, hypothetically, if, like, Lewis is saying, oh, he's gotten it from somebody who had it, wouldn't Klein look so much better if he had come forward and been like, I interviewed this person, they had the phone. Holla.
Yeah. You know? Now it's an actual lead to getting it solved.
Exactly. So if he already had it, it would make more sense for him to come forward at the time than to be like, oh, I'm going to stash it in this search I'm doing and then we'll find it by somebody.
Yeah. And even if like people were like, oh, well, so Lewis's theory was that Tom's mum had his phone the whole time. So even if like somebody could say like, oh, well, you know, Klein's getting paid by her.
Mm.
If he solves the case, that guarantees him a shit ton more business than the paycheck he's getting right now from her.
Hell yeah, like he's on the radio every other day. He wants publicity.
Yeah, so like it just doesn't make any logical sense.
No.
And it sounds like Lewis is floundering.
Yeah, and it sounds like Lewis is trying to cover his ass yet again.
Mm. So there was an interaction. So this is Lewis's like backup for this,
right?
According to him, that Penny had asked Caleb King's mother if Caleb knew the passcode to Tom's phone a few weeks after his disappearance.
Hmm.
Penny said she was asking because a deputy named Deputy Clapp, which I find funny, had asked for it to tie up loose ends. Lewis and Clapp deny it was ever asked for. But I can see why they would ask for it.
Mm.
I don't know why it would be to tie up loose ends, because the whole fucking thing is a giant loose end.
Yeah, see, that part sounds sus to me.
But having all of that information on hand already, if they did find it,
yeah,
makes sense. So yeah, it makes sense to be like, okay, we need any passwords. Like, if we find anything, we need to be able to get into it straight away. Give me everything you know. And then if we find it, we've got it. We can just go. We don't have to fuck around waiting for you to then figure it out, you know?
Yeah, well, because usually if they have to get a password, they either have to send it away to Apple, which takes weeks and they need warrants, or they send it away to like the tech department in the FBI, which also takes weeks.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. But that comment about to tie up loose ends, I mean,
they sounds like they'd already given up on it.
Well, to me, it sounds more like they had it. And it was like, you know, we need the passcode.
Yeah, I'm nodding. Sorry.
Yeah.
I forgot this is an audio medium.
Right. We'll keep going.
Yes, yes. It sounds like you're right. It does sound like they already had it and like they wanted to get into it to see what it was.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that.
Oh, really?
I just thought it was them being like lazy and wanting to, you know, just say that they've done the thing.
Yeah. But for them to be like, hey, do you have Tom's passcode just to like tie up some loose ends?
Yeah. Here's a loose end. Where's my fucking son?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that one?
Now, Lewis thinks that Penny had the phone the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Was she in on it? Did she find him? Did she kill him? Did she help him leave? Why the fuck would she hire an investigator then and report him missing at all? The fees for this investigator are a lot.
Yeah, they would be.
Like, oh.
Plus, I'm
everything she was going through.
Well, I was about to say, like, presumably she's distraught and there's probably news coverage or something of her being a mess.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely, yeah. Like, all the time. But, like, she hires this investigator, she makes a press statement, like, she's actively trying to find her son. Why would... It just doesn't...
Anyway. And she's raging at the police department for being inept.
Like, yeah, that why would like she try and get more capable people in?
Yeah, usually
to solve a crime she committed. That doesn't make sense.
She'd be like, oh, no, they haven't found my son yet, but, like, no, they're doing well. Yeah.
Yeah, there's throwing, like, I guess a little bit of shade so that your cover's not blown or whatever and trying to be helpful in the investigation. But then there's like...
She hates
activism. Yeah. So she starts a Facebook group.
Oh, is this the one you found?
It's called Mums for Tom. And it's just really cute. She started a petition to have the sheriff removed.
I'll sign it.
After nearly 6,000 signatures in a day.
Whoa.
Lewis asked the Attorney General to take over.
Okay. Bye, Lewis.
Two investigators came to town. They studied all the case files and re-interviewed the town. They came out with a list of people they wanted to do lie detector tests on.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis and Klein were on that list, but just above them was Penny and Chris.
Right.
Late March 2018.
Okay.
Penny and Chris had agreed to do the test. Penny went first. Immediately after the test, she was interrogated again with no answers as to what questions she'd failed for them to be asking her like this. Mm. Their working theory now was that Tom had committed suicide and Penny was too ashamed, so she moved his body to cover it up.
Mm-hmm.
Penny, who was barely 5'5", was supposed to move her recently dead 200-pound son just mere moments after he killed himself and keep it a secret for nearly 2 years because of shame? Yeah, no.
Hmm. I have some issues with the physics there.
Even if Chris or Tucker could help her, Chris had severe back issues and there's absolutely no fucking evidence either.
No, that doesn't ring true to me.
No. Klein passed his polygraph.
Okay.
Which I feel like no matter what you asked him about, I feel like he's the kind of guy that he believes in what he's saying so much that it doesn't matter. Like, I just, man, you should see pictures of him. He's just, oh, well, yeah. As did Lewis, as far as we know.
Hmm. Okay.
He said he passed it.
I don't believe that.
We don't even know if, like, what questions they asked him. They could have asked him about a cat. I don't know.
Yeah, they could have been like, is your name Lewis? Yes. All right, you've passed. Thank you. He's good.
You're a sheriff. Yes.
Well, cool. There is a bit of that, you know, looking after your own culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For months, there was no updates. They investigated everything, every lead, even the insane ones like the wood chippers.
And the motel freezers.
Yeah. At least, but nothing came of it. At least nothing was being revealed to the public if it was.
Mm-hmm.
January 9th, 2019.
Ooh.
2 years, 1 month, and 17 days after Tom had gone missing, Sheriff's Deputy Pine Gregory parked his vehicle at the very end of Lake Marvin Road, 12 miles or 20 kilometers mm-hmm. from where the phone was found.
Okay.
Gregory was on duty but on a break looking for deer antlers that had been shed.
Mm-hmm.
He followed a deer trail for about 200 feet or 60 meters when he finds bones. Human bones. Bones that belonged to Tom Brown.
Oh my God. Was he there the whole time?
It seems so. The sheriff's department arrives to search the area. They find a femur, several small bones, a pair of tennis shoes, some remains of blue jeans, and part of a chewed Texas driver's license. The name on the license was readable as Thomas Kelly Brown.
I have so many emotions right now.
I know. It's a lot. Oh my God. The thing that gets me... Klein had a tip that the body was towards the end of the road.
Why wasn't he found?
I don't know. And it's by pure chance that he was. Like, what they found from Tom's remains were, well, nothing, actually.
Mm-hmm.
No fractures,
mm-hmm.
no bullet wound, and there wasn't enough left for a toxicology report.
Yeah.
So they found his body, they knew he was dead, that's all they got from it.
Mm.
August 2019,
mm-hmm.
8 months after the discovery of Tom's final destination, the Attorney General investigators called a meeting of all the players in the case, all the main parents, all of the FBI, Texas Rangers, everybody, even Klein and his investigators. The meeting was supposed to be secret, but somebody recorded it.
I want to hear it.
The meeting... I don't know how this person found it, but I can't find it. So it was probably one of the parents.
Probably.
The meeting was mainly about the fact that they didn't know anything one way or another.
Okay.
They did reveal in the meeting, though, that they had sent Tom's phone to a lab where technicians had discovered that around 9:45 on Thanksgiving Eve, while Tom was with Christian and Caleb King, he had used his phone internet browser to search suicide hotlines. But there was no evidence that Tom had called any of the numbers or made contact with anyone else.
That's not good.
And the investigators debunked Klein's claim. That hurts my head.
Yikes.
That Tom's final cell phone pings placed him near the high school football stadium around midnight. They revealed that there weren't enough cell phone towers in Canadian to accurately triangulate anyone's location.
So he was lying his ass off.
It seems so. deducing someone's location based on those pings was guesswork at best. They also said that Lewis hadn't misconducted anything. 3 months later, Lewis resigns.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
Lewis claimed that he was pressured to resign for media appearances and that they used bad training paperwork as the excuse. I'd like to see those fucking files. Thank you, sir. So Klein's theory is that it was Lewis and that some kids were messing with Tom in the parking lot and one accidentally shot Tom, called their parent who called Lewis, who covered it up, moved the body, planted the bag, the car, and the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis's theory is that it was Penny. That Tom killed himself, Penny found him, and with the help of either her older son or her husband, moved his body, dumped the car, planted the phone and the bag in order to avoid the stigma of another suicide in her family. Penny's theory is that it was Lewis.
Yep.
That Lewis not only covered up the crime, but committed it himself, which I think might be a stretch. That Lewis was the one messing with Tom, perhaps after finding him in the parking lot after midnight, like the night in 2015, that caused a stir, and that he had accidentally shot him, then to cover it up and save his brand new reputation as the sheriff, removed and then planted the evidence. And then we have the suicide theory.
Yeah.
That Tom wanted to die, or perhaps was even just deciding as he drove up and down the main street. He parked his car somewhere away from where he was going, maybe so he couldn't be stopped, walked into the woods to die, eventually stopping after a long, long hike at the end of the road to the lake. Or was it something else entirely? Who was the last person to see Tom? Who the fuck was driving his car?
Yeah.
Why the hell did his backpack end up where it did? How did Tom die? And who the fuck planted the iPhone?
Yep.
Unfortunately, that's kind of it. We're left with only questions. There hasn't been any real developments or new evidence. They say that the AG recently returned to Canadian and was planning on bringing a grand jury that would be convened in Hemphill County either in late 2020, which didn't happen, or early 2021.
Yeah.
Various citizens would be subpoenaed to testify under penalty of perjury. So what new evidence has Rachel Kading, the investigator for the AG, unearthed? So this hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But it's still the first week of Jan, so hopefully we can get some kind of answer soon because it's been 4 years and no one has said anything, but someone knows something.
Someone knows something.
And that is the case of Tom Brown.
I have so many feelings. I have so many questions. And it's... Oh. Oh my God.
The thing that gets me is that, like... So you see where his phone was found. I just want to know why they didn't keep going. Because his backpack was found on the same road.
Yeah, and his body's up the end of it.
Yeah. It literally goes, his backpack, his phone, his body, like in a row.
Yeah. So for people who can't see, Ashley's like holding up.
I'll post it. I'm doing hand gestures.
Yeah.
I will post a picture of all the major site points on this case because there is a map.
Yeah.
And you can see how small Canadian is, and you can see that really out of the entire town where his car was parked was as close to the road as you can get without being on that road.
Wow.
So it's all kind of fucking in line. But it's also really fucking long and really far away.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, okay, if we're going to run with the suicide theory for a second, why would he park his car and then he would dump his backpack at one end and then he would walk to the other and dump his phone at the other end and then die in the middle?
Well, he obviously didn't dump his phone. We know that much.
Oh, well, that's true. Okay. But then again, like, well, also, I mean, his backpack was placed. So
why would he take his fucking backpack?
Well, yeah, like, I don't... Okay, so, like, the suicide hotline stuff stuck with me, but I just don't believe a suicide theory.
I just had a thought. What if he was taking his back... So it's full of books and a laptop. That shit's heavy, right?
Yeah.
What if he was going to drown himself in the lake?
Hmm.
Why walk there? I'm just so lazy. Yeah. I can't fathom walking, like...
Plus, the other thing
22
is...
22 fucking miles.
Yeah, and
I can't
fathom
walking 1 mile.
Well, yeah. But I mean, like, if he had taken his bag to drown himself, he probably would have been successful. So why wasn't his body found there? Unless he sort of...
Why did he drop his bag and then continue on?
It just doesn't make a lot... For me, like, I think... Unfortunately, I think Lewis's theory has some merit to it. I don't necessarily believe it. If you want to try and make it fit into the evidence, that does make sense. Like, say, you know, she found her son, he's dead. She's like, oh, well, I'm going to place things, so I'm going to put his backpack here, and then I'll hang on to the phone and I'll dump it later. And then, you know, you can jam it in and you can make it fit. It's just motives don't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
So I don't really believe any of them. No,
me either. I think that Klein has something. I think Klein, out of all of them, is likely the most correct.
Mm.
Not in, like, specifically the people he's targeting, but that in the theory that Tom ran into somebody.
Yeah.
And that something happened, or Tom met up with somebody.
Yeah.
Something happened and they dumped his body off the side of the road. The backpack was placed potentially as like an arrow.
Yeah, like, look, he's along here. Yeah.
The phone, same thing. You didn't fucking listen to my backpack. Look along here, because they regretted it.
Mm. What if it was suicide, but someone else was there?
Like say, someone helped him.
Either helped him or tried to stop him and failed. And so then they've sort of seen it and they're like, well, I don't want to be tied to it. So then they've kind of scattered things and they've kind of dumped his car. They've staged things. They've been like, oh, he just wandered off. I don't know where he went.
Yeah.
But he's actually killed himself and he's been dead the whole time. Which, theoretically, if one of his friends was there, maybe they were young. Maybe they kind of panicked.
Well, they're all about 17, 18, 19, yeah.
Yeah, which kind of fits with your beacon theory.
I think the oldest was Christian out of his friends.
Yeah.
Sage is about the same age as Christian.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, she's about 19, 20.
Yeah.
She's a year above him.
Which, I mean, that kind of makes sense with your beacon theory with the backpack. Like, if it was someone who cared about him and he's just killed himself, maybe they want him to be found, but they're like, I don't want to be tied to it.
Yeah.
So they've left a marker.
Just how his bones got out. And, like, obviously with the chewed license and stuff, animals, like, it'd been 2 years. Like,
yeah, animal activity. And
stuff like that. But, yeah, like, if that was the final place he was, because his shoes were there, jeans were there, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I doubt it was taken a lot further. That's still, what, 200 meters or 200 yards?
Mm.
200 feet. I don't understand American systems.
Yeah.
60 meters.
60 meters. Yeah, which is a decent distance.
Yeah. Like, that's pretty far in off the road.
Mm.
Why was he in there?
Like, it's, I mean, just, maybe,
yeah.
I mean, someone else might have dragged his body away from the road, maybe to hide it and give them more time or something.
But then that seems more sinister.
It does. I mean, I'm sort of, I guess in my head, I'm sort of picturing someone who panicked. So maybe they're like, oh my God, yeah, I've just seen
someone. I think that's why I think it was some sort of like an accident.
Yeah.
Maybe with a little bit of intent, like an intent to mess around or something like that. But then it went too far. Something like that.
Mm.
And that's why it was more covered up. And then the remorse was the bag and, you know, the vehicle and stuff was to just give them a bit more time.
Yeah. I think someone was definitely there.
Where the fuck did the shell casing come from?
That's another one. Well, I mean, if he was shot in some capacity, whether he shot himself.
He definitely wasn't shot in the car.
Well, no, but I don't know. I don't know
how shells eject from guns.
Well, there's the urine as well. So maybe someone got out to take a pee and then someone had a gun and they're messing around with it and it went off or something.
That seems pretty plausible.
There's another theory. I think there's a couple things that kind of make sense, which is that someone else was there. There's some element of remorse there. Like, maybe who was there cared about him in some way, whether it's a friend, whether it's something else. And that, you know, his manner of death was either accidental or suicide. We're not sure.
Yeah. Because there's just no reason for it to happen intentionally either.
No, I mean, he's a kid. Like, it's...
And he was a good kid. It's
yeah.
Like, he pissed anybody off. No, he didn't steal anybody's girlfriend.
He's not going to have, like, a drug dealer coming after him or some, you know, horrible feud that's been going on for months and it's ended in violence or something.
Yeah.
I find that hard to believe.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's... thanks for that suggestion. If you have a case you want to suggest, Please don't make it this hard.
I'm going to be thinking about this for a long time.
You see why I was like, no, I need to do this.
Yeah,
like,
fully understandable. I mean, I was understandable anyway, but like, yeah, no worries.
But yeah, so, I mean, thanks for the suggestion, and I'm sorry this has gone on so long, but I feel like, especially because it was for our 100th follower and it was a really, like, impactful case, I needed to do the whole thing. I needed to do it sort of justice as well.
Oh, yeah, this case needed justice, 100%. That being said, I have a case as well. Fortunately, mine is not that long.
My neck hurts.
I'm very stressed.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
My stomach is, like, in knots because I'm just like, what
happened? I should have gone last.
No, this is actually good because my case is cool.
Okay, so we won't leave being frustrated then.
No.
That's nice.
This one is wrapped up in a nice little package.
Great.
Kind of.
Cool.
Mostly. Like 98%. More,
less than mine, which is just one of those confetti cannons that goes off and nothing gets picked up afterwards.
Yours has broken my brain and I'm going to be reading this and thinking about that case.
Welcome.
Yay.
Sorry, not sorry.
Okay, so I'm going to hold my laptop up again. The story I have for you today, I must admit, is not the most supernatural story. But I came across it while I was scrolling on Facebook and it was just very interesting.
Was it a clickbait thing that you got into and then got a little bit sidetracked?
Kind of.
Yeah, that happens to me.
It was just a really good headline and I was like, I have to read about this. And then I read the article and I was like, yeah, I so have to look into this and then report it back. But it's just a creepy story. And it's also, it's the origin story of an object we'll all be familiar with that none of us know that this story exists.
Okay.
So I'll save that surprise for the end of my little presentation.
Okay.
But yeah, so we'll get into it. Also, this case takes place in Paris and kind of Europe. So there's a fair bit of French in here that I'm going to butcher. So,
oh yeah, you did say you've got a whole like I have a quote or something in French that you're going to try and read.
Yeah, I've put in a little treat later in my story. There's a full quote. It's about two sentences and I'm going to do the whole thing in French and then give you the translation because I just know people really enjoy it when I butcher other languages.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, so I've put that in because I was like, oh, I'll just do the translation. I'm like, no, I like it when people laugh at me.
So you have a go doing the French thing and then give it to me and see if I can do it.
Yes.
And then we'll do the translation.
Okay.
And somebody that speaks French can yell at us on Twitter.
They can be like, guys, please stop.
Fucking Australians.
Yeah. Okay. So this case, like I said, takes place in Paris, specifically in the River Seine during the late 1800s. So in around the 1880s, a young woman's body was pulled from the river and taken to a local morgue. Despite a thorough examination, nothing was really discovered about the young woman other than she was around 16 years of age and that she likely died by suicide by jumping into the river. A note on this, though, is that the reason they ruled it a suicide was that there was no visible marks, which we now know from modern forensics that doesn't necessarily mean that she wasn't murdered.
That don't mean shit.
Yeah. So this was the 1880s. They basically looked at her and was like, well, I don't see a gunshot.
They don't know shit.
So yeah, that's why it was ruled a suicide. So take that with a grain of salt. Now, during the 19th century in Paris, they didn't have modern technology to find John and Jane Doe's. So they didn't have like printing posters and like sharing stuff on social media. So what they did was they would take the corpses of dead people who they didn't know who they were and they would display them in windows of refrigerated rooms. Yep. They did this so that all the townspeople could walk on by, see all these dead people and decide if they knew anybody. If they did, they could then go in and be like, oh, well, this is so-and-so. They could claim the body and then bury them however they wanted.
Efficient.
Yeah. Efficient but questionable.
This is my cousin Susie J. George and I'm gonna take her home.
Yeah, just
that's terrifying.
Okay. Unsurprisingly, given, you know, how naturally macabre human beings are.
Did you just say macabre?
Yeah, I don't know how to say that word.
Macabre.
Macabre? Okay, thank you.
Macabre. I'm just thinking get macabre.
Macabre, what?
Get in macabre. Sorry. That was the squeak of the century.
I so hope that picked up.
It did. It definitely did. I see the spike.
Oh, that's amazing. You know what it is? So when I get stressed, my voice gets really tight and I get legit muscle spasm in my throat. And that's your case that's done it to me.
Okay. I didn't pick it. Thanks.
Yeah.
I just poked myself in the eye.
Oh my god. We're messes. <happening? laughs>
Anyway, get macabre. Yep.
Yeah. So because people are macabre. You know, these windows were not just viewed by grieving families now. So it wasn't just people missing somebody, coming by, seeing if their loved one was there. It became an attraction. And so people would have a nice day out and they would go look at dead people for funsies.
That sounds great.
It does sound great. But also, it's also rather horrible if you ask me, because you basically have all these grieving families that are trying to see if their dead one, their loved one is dead in a window
somewhere.
Their
dead one is loved.
Yeah. Loved forever. But like, you have all these grieving people trying
to...
there's
a family walking past and the kid's got an ice cream in her hand.
Yeah, and they're skipping. Just like, oh my god, look at that one. It's like, what the hell? So yeah, not great. But back to our story. So obviously, because they couldn't identify who this young woman was, they put her in these windows. She also had a pretty cool nickname, which was La Connue de la Seine, which means the unknown of the Seine. And so she was put in these windows for a while. But unfortunately no one came to claim her. And so eventually she was taken down and she was going to be given a pauper's burial, which is basically like a state burial nowadays. They just stick you in the ground and go dead. But before she could be buried, there was a mortician who was so enamored by her beauty that he decided to take a plaster cast of her face and make a death mask. Because, you know, he thought she was cute.
Yeah. I just think about I think it's the Paris catacombs.
Mm-hmm. With all the bones and everything.
Yeah, but they also, it leads to like this tunnel, I think, which was like the Paris morgue, and it was like a giant refrigerated room.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was in London. Fuck, can't remember. Where they would do the same thing. Yeah. Where they would have just all the bodies out on display. I've been there. Why can't I remember what city it's in? as I was walking through it, I was like, this would have been a necrophile's fucking dream. Like,
yeah. Basically, like, all the articles I read, everyone was like, this dude should not have been a mortician.
No.
Yeah. We're just not going to look into that.
This is a dream job.
Yeah. So, this is where the story gets a little crazy. So, the death mask that was made by this mortician, because he was just so in love with this dead woman's face, it got extremely popular all throughout France. And then eventually, all of Europe. So, it began by the original mask was used to make a template for other masks to be made. And then they would be sold in stores as masks, keychains, little souvenirs. Like,
Jesus.
People just wanted to buy this dead woman's face. Yeah. But then it escalated because all of a sudden, artists, poets, writers, philosophers, and eventually filmmakers all became obsessed with La Connue de la Seine. And they did all sorts of shit. So her face started to be everywhere. It would be like hung on the walls in people's homes. It would be in people's studios. It would be in works of literature. Everyone wrote about her. It even started to impact society because especially in France and Germany, women would start to modify their looks to look more like the mask because she was just considered to be so beautiful, which is really messed up when you think that she was dead.
Wow.
It also is believed to be the origin of where this really romanticized
I just had this image of like the shrunken heads from Ripley's Believe It or Not.
It's the same vibe.
Oh.
Yeah, it's...
But everyone also just thinking that it's beautiful and then trying to look like a shrunken head.
Okay, sorry. No, it's not like... They're not dehydrated. It's okay. But it is really creepy because it's like this mask of literally just a dead woman's face down to like the top of her neck just hung on a wall.
Man.
And that's how it was.
Like, you know with the shrunken heads how they're usually like strung up by like their ponytail so they're like...
Yeah.
Forehead's really big and their eyes are really big and their eyebrows are up and then their mouth is open and they're like, mm-hmm. That's what I imagine.
Okay, her eyes were closed, if that makes it any better.
That little bit, yes.
Yeah. I do describe what it looks like in a second.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, so it was also thought to be the origin of where this really romanticized idea of a woman drowning herself in water came from. So you know those like dramatic scenes where a beautiful woman throws herself into like a lake or the sea.
And she's wearing a really long white nightgown.
Yeah, or a river. And she kind of peacefully drowns as a metaphor for her emotional desperation. That's thought to be where this came from.
Right.
So, yeah, that. because obviously I can't show you a picture of the death mask itself right now. I mean, I could show you, but I can't show anyone that's listening.
That was cute.
I thought that I would give you a quote that was written about
the
Cagne de la Seine by a famous writer named Maurice Blanchot. And as a special treat, which I mentioned earlier, because people love me butchering other languages, I thought I would say the quote in French and then give you the translation. Okay, so are we ready for me to butcher the French language? So.
Bless you.
Thank you. Okay. Une adolescente au Uclos, mais vivant par un sourire si délit, ses fortunes, qu'on est pour croire qu'elle s'était noyée dans un instant d'extrême bonheur.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm not going to try it.
But yeah, so that was my attempt.
I'm sure you did beautifully.
Thank you.
You're welcome. absolutely no context for that, but I'm sure you did.
Okay, so this translates to an adolescent with closed eyes, but enlivened by a smile so relaxed, so rich, that one may be led to believe that she died in a moment of extreme happiness.
Right.
Which, like, that's kind of what everyone loved about it. It was that she had this beautiful, like, peaceful expression. She was very young and she was very beautiful. For me, when I looked at the death mask, however, I saw more a look of contentment. So, like, yes, she was young. Yes, she was beautiful, but she was dead. So she was just kind of, like, eyes closed, just chilling, you know.
Yeah.
Her hair is also styled in a way that some people have suggested meant that she was a poor girl or a beggar or a vagrant. I think this was a big stretch because basically, like, if you look at the death mask, her hair is just kind of pulled back.
Well, when I saw it then, it looked like, this is why I think I thought she looked a bit like my grandma, is because when my grandma was a nurse, that's how she'd have her hair all the time.
Yeah, it's like this styled kind of pulled back, you know? So yeah. All of those are kind of, you know, speculation anyway. Like, none of that has even been confirmed because they still don't even know who she is, but for the time, that's what people kind of thought about her. Anyways, I'm sure we will be putting a picture of the death mask on our Instagram, which is Dead Obsessed Podcast, if you're not already following us.
Nice plug.
Thank you. I actually wrote it in here.
It's a scripted plug.
It's a scripted plug. Nice. I was writing it and I'm like, this would be a really natural way to plug the Instagram.
So I'm going to write it in and read it off the screen.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Well, because otherwise I'd be like, oh no, I can't do that. But if I write it in, I have to. But yeah, I just thought that I would try and paint a bit of a word picture before we keep going.
Yeah, it's good.
So we're going to jump ahead in time a little bit now to the 1950s, where a Norwegian toy manufacturer named Asmund Laidell had made a doll named Anne that had become very popular. This doll was not modeled off La Cagne de la Seine. However, she comes into the story in a second. See, Leda's son had nearly drowned when he was 2 years old, and if it weren't for his quick thinking as a father, he cleared all the water out of his son's lungs and he lived, but it was very traumatic for both of them. So when a team of anesthesiologists approached the toy maker about creating some sort of method for teaching life-saving techniques known as CPR...
Ding. Click. Nice.
To everyday people, Laidell was only too happy to help. So he created a model for a life-size mannequin doll that would enable people to practice the compressions and breathing techniques that can't be performed on someone who is living. Because if you didn't know this, if you perform CPR on someone who's alive, you can kill them.
Yeah.
So don't do that. The doll was given the name Resusci Anne, or CPR Anne in the US.
Resusci Anne.
Resusci Anne. It's literally spelled R-E-S-U-S-C-I.
And yeah, then just Anne. Google search. That's great.
But the toy maker really struggled when it came to what to do for the face. That was when he remembered a serene looking mask that would always hang on the wall of his in-law's house. And can you guess what the mask was?
Tom Cruise.
It was not Tom Cruise.
Ah,
it was actually
a missed opportunity.
It was actually Le Cornu de la Seine, which I've been talking about the whole time.
I had no idea that that was the link you were going to make.
Yeah. Le Cornu de la Seine was used as the model for the original CPR dolls that were first ever made. The worldwide teaching of CPR is thought to have saved well over 2 million lives. And most of us had no idea that the dolls had this weird, dark history.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures of Resusci Anne now.
Yep. You can kind of see it. It looks a little bit different, probably for like trademarking reasons. But yeah. What's really interesting is that there was a bit of information on how he decided on what he wanted for the face, because he was like, well, I think the face of the doll, because he started with just this base design of like a mannequin where you could just do compressions and squishy breathe mannequin. Into it. Yeah. But he was like, well, it needs a face because that looks really creepy with that one. He decided it had to be female because he felt that men wouldn't practice CPR on a male doll because, you know, homophobia. Yeah,
sure.
And then he decided that it had to be pretty because, you know.
Only pretty people worth saving.
Yep. And then that's how he kind of thought of this mask and was like, oh, well, that mask on my...
I mean, it's handy that he wouldn't have to creatively make one himself.
Yeah, it was handy. He was like, oh, I know. And then
he'll use somebody else's idea.
Yeah. So that's pretty much the story. But the last thing I wanted to say before I finish the story was to quote the original article that I read about this topic. This was the... Yes.
I was going to ask if it was going to be in French.
No, it's not in French. So basically, when I was scrolling on Facebook, this was the headline that I read.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You've made out with a drowning victim from the 1800s. Do you see why I read it?
Fuck yeah. That's great.
That was my little story.
That was wonderful. Thank you. I see why that was... I love that you left that till the end. That was fucking great.
But yeah, so not the most supernaturally, but I went with paranormal because it's not very normal.
Yeah. No, but that's great. I love that. Thank you. That was fabulous.
You're very welcome.
Oh, wow.
What an episode.
So come join us on the Instagram. I'm on there all the time. I forgot to post something today. I'll post it right now. And we've got the Facebook group, which is just... Is that just Dead Obsessed? Or Dead
it's
Obsessed
the same
podcast?
Dead Obsessed podcast.
Dead Obsessed podcast, where you can come in and join and have a chat.
Yep.
I've also got my Twitter, which is just Catastrophe IRL. But on the Instagram, if you go to the Instagram, there's a Linktree link in our bio, which has links to everything. Mm-hmm. Please, 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 if you listen, if you have any sort of connection or story or something like that that you want to share, please click to submit your story and write us a little email and tell us a story of any sort of paranormal thing, funny stories, weird things you found in walls. Like, I don't give a shit. I just want to read it. Like, I want to know. I don't care. It doesn't have to be true crime related. It doesn't have to be paranormal related. It can just be like badass family members or, you know, and it doesn't have to be you. It can be your city, something that you've heard of, whatever.
Just a personal, creepy, crazy, weird, scary, spooky story that you have.
Something you wouldn't tell normie friends at a party.
Yeah, because we're not normal and we want to hear it.
Yes. But thank you so much for listening. I've been Ash.
I've been Laura.
And this has been Dead Obsessed. So thank you, guys.
Thank
2021.
You.
2021. Woo! Bye.
Bye, guys.
Did we say our names at the start?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was so long ago.
Yeah. My brain is so full.
Right?
Oh, my God.
Is Dead Obsessed.